Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
We had 1,956 applications for those 84 slots. So it's a very competitive process, but we're finding those very talented students. As it turns out, 37% of the class this fall did their undergraduate work at Purdue University. And so they've come from all over. They're innovators. They're going to be thought leaders for us into the future. And teaming them with the faculty and staff that we have here now, I'm very bullish on the future.
Welcome to Ag Bioscience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinovis CEO, Mitch Fraser.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. The USDA just reported that there are 243 veterinary shortage areas in the United States across 46 states. That's the highest number ever. It's a challenging environment, particularly when you consider veterinarians are on the front lines of battling avian influenza and dealing with a massively growing companion animal population post-COVID. Here to help us understand this evolution that's happening in veterinary science and how veterinarians are tackling this market is a longtime veterinarian, an incredible leader, and a friend. Welcome Dr. Brett Marsh, the Dean of the Purdue University College of Veterinary Science. Brett, it's great to see you.
Great to see you as well. Thank you for the invitation.
We have a lot to cover here, Dr. Marsh. I think the piece that we have to start with, and it's one that I know you as a veterinarian, we've talked about this, and it's just a challenge that we have, is veterinary science is an evolving field, as a field that is under immense pressure today as we look at the current environment. Give us a current state. What are you hearing from veterinarians in the field and those that you're working alongside on research?
Well, indeed, to your point that you mentioned at the outset, there are significant areas of our state and country that are underserved, and we're taking a hard look at that here at our College of Veterinary Medicine. And in my former role, I used to receive calls from county commissioners and others, and they said, well, Dr. Marsh, there isn't a veterinarian in the county that'll look at a large animal. And I said, yes, I understand, and unfortunately, you're not the only county. And so we're taking a look at all those kinds of issues. To your point, we have 70% of Indiana households have a pet. We rank nationally in the top five in many of our animal ag commodities. And so we're a major agricultural state as well. And of course, the equine industry with two racetracks, a lot of pleasure horses, et cetera. So even though we're the smallest state geographically, west of the Appalachian Mountains, there is a lot going on in the animal space in our state, and we're determined to do all we can to support and help those populations.
Dr. Marsh, it's one that I think is so critical, this challenge that's before, but you've been in an environment here for decades, really preparing for this opportunity. You previously served as the state veterinarian leading the Board of Animal Health, now leading the preeminent veterinary medicine school, College of Veterinary Medicine at Purdue University. How has this unique perspective that you've built here over the last couple decades really shaped your view of what needs to happen and what needs to happen now?
Appreciate you mentioning it. And indeed, in my former role, I worked with animal producers, animal owners of all types across Indiana and across the country, work with veterinary practices of all types. And so hearing their issues firsthand, their challenges of trying to hire a veterinarian, producer challenges of trying to get access to veterinary care. And again, as I mentioned, whether it's Steve, hearing from legislators or local politicians and others, it culminates in ongoing challenges for the profession. I should share that it's not unique to Indiana, as you mentioned at the outset. So this is going on across the country. And frankly, as I visit with colleagues around the world, it's a similar challenge trying to provide coverage in rural areas of our state, for example. I'm particularly pleased, and very soon we'll have a report from the Farm Journal Foundation, and we've been working with them to understand why we have underserved areas in our state. One of the suppositions over time has been that our veterinary students, as they graduate, carry enough debt that they can't service that debt if they work in a rural area, for example. But actually, there's more to it than that. That may be one component. But we're also looking at, with the Farm Journal Foundation, at the whole community approach, because you're looking for spousal opportunities. opportunities. You're looking for childcare, entertainment opportunities, and frankly, internet access. And all those pieces contribute to why we have areas that are underserved. Another aspect that we're taking a look at is just the communication between the practitioners who currently exist and the animal-owning public, because there may not be a lot of advertising, for example, or notification taking place by practices, and we may be missing each other out here, and just to make sure we have coverage in areas. But I think my experience in the past in dealing directly with producers, veterinarians, market operators, packing plant owners, extension educators, all of those have contributed to my understanding on that side, so I can bring that exposure, if you will, to this role. And I think there are some things that we can do to continue to contribute to that veterinary workforce to try and address some of those specific issues.
It has to be a challenge, because you're balancing this reality of we have a gap in some areas of veterinary service coverage. Just a veterinarian doesn't exist. And then you look at this other piece of your business at Purdue is advancing research and really thinking about how do you advance the next chapter of veterinary science. How are you balancing this? How do you balance this immediate call to action for, gosh, we got to have more veterinarians with, hey, let's make sure we don't take our eye off the ball for a decade from now or two decades from now?
That's a great point, because it is a... The college is involved in so many different aspects, and we have a very talented staff. And to your point, they have multiple tasks. So they may be teaching, they may be in the clinics, and they may also be doing research. And so by the time they divide those percentages out, it can really be quite a juggling act. But it is critically important that we can maintain our research presence. We really have some fine researchers in infectious diseases, musculoskeletal diseases, and oncology, et cetera. So there's some really fine work going on here that's having impacts not only in our country, but around the globe. But those same faculty members may be in the classroom. And so they're balancing that on a day-to-day basis. We're looking at ways that we might be able to relieve some of that pressure so that we can keep our focus on research. And not only do we have the DVM students, those of you who want and choose to become a veterinarian, but we also have the veterinary nurse, or otherwise known as the veterinary technology program. So we're educating the entire veterinary medical team. And it can be a balancing act to get all of that done. We're in the process right now, for example, of taking a close look at the whole One Health Innovation District. It was an initiative announced by President Chang here at Purdue, and we're excited to be a part of that. I've often said the veterinarians were doing One Health before we called it One Health, because of all their interfaces with animals and people for many, many decades. So we're excited to be a part of that, and I think that's one of the energizing opportunities for our faculty to take a look at new opportunities while they're still balancing their tasks in the classroom.
There is a lot to be excited about. I think the focus on One Health, we see it from Purdue University, we see it from Elanco and many others here across central Indiana, across the Midwest. One area where I feel like you might be being just a little humble here, Dr. Marsh, is your Purdue Veterinary Teaching Hospital was just named number one in the country. I have goosebumps as I share it. Give us an idea of what's happening at this hospital and what role does it play in this meeting demand and meeting research?
It's a phenomenal facility. We're extremely proud of it. It just about 3 years ago was a dedication of the Brunner Hospitals. And so with support from the Indiana legislature, donors, Purdue University, about a $110 million project to establish the new small animal emergency hospital. We also have small animal primary care, as well as a new equine facility and a farm animal facility. So it's really a phenomenal site. It changed our footprint in remarkable ways. It's a much larger footprint, of course. But nonetheless, we're really proud of the work that goes on there. And for example, I had an opportunity to visit with students who have applied, and we were interviewing them here, and we gave them a tour of the hospital and said, oh gosh, we want to come here. And so not only in their opportunity as a student, but the research opportunities there as well, because we do a number of clinical trials. We have patients who come here for oncology treatments. We have ophthalmology, nephrology, neurology, all those specialties are here. here. We have exceptional orthopedic and soft tissue surgeons. So all those contribute to a leading hospital. We're extremely proud of the facility and the people who are in it, and they'll continue to make significant contributions, not only in teaching, but in clinical trials and research. And we're maximizing that space to the greatest extent for not only our citizens in Indiana, but across the country.
Oh, it's so good. The reach of Purdue University's College of Veterinary Science, the work that you're leading, has ripples across the globe. We're going to take a look at what those are and the role of innovation in the future of animal health. We'll do it right after this. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
A healthy company is a blessing, but a well-insured company is a necessity. That's why Indiana Farm Bureau offers more affordable health plans for eligible members. Whether you have just a handful of employees or a larger enterprise, building a stable business demands employees who are just as strong and healthy. Indiana Farm Bureau can help with health plans that include medical, dental, vision, and Medicare supplement insurance plans. And you can sign up for membership and apply for an Indiana Farm Bureau health plan any time of year. Indiana Farm Bureau understands the cost of healthcare has rapidly become one of the largest expenses for many small businesses. We invite you to compare our health plans to your current coverage. We're confident you could find significant savings. To learn more about the health plan that's right for you, visit infbhealthplans.com and make the switch today.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. We're talking with Dr. Brett Marsh, the Dean of the Purdue University College of Veterinary Medicine. Dr. Marsh, we have spent quite a bit of time here really digging into this challenge that veterinarians face, this veterinary science challenge, your challenge of balancing research in the future, and then actually providing the DVMs, these new veterinarians that need to go out, fill these underserved areas. But I want to spend a little time on innovation, an area that I know you care deeply about, I care deeply about. As you look at the work that's happening in your college, as you look at the work that's happening broadly across animal health, what areas are you most intrigued by, most interested in here, both near-term and long-term?
I think there are indeed a number of things that are happening now. For example, we have researchers that are taking a look at vaccine production to deal with highly pathogenic avian influenza, not only in poultry, but in dairy, since we're dealing with that virus and those species and its applications more broadly. So that's one example of the kind of work that's going on here that's being supported. I'll admit that we're having a challenging time now with the funding streams from the federal government, and so we're looking closely at that as well. Purdue University has done a great job, in my view, of providing bridge funding when necessary so we can complete these critical studies. Again, under the One Health umbrella, I think there's opportunities for us to take a look at everything from orthopedics to oncology to nephrology. There's lots of opportunity there. I think there's also a great opportunity for us to keep our eye on production agriculture and what we can do in that space as well. We're a major ag production state, and I'm always struck with, again, the size of our state when we compare number one in commercial ducks and two in eggs and three in turkeys and five in swine. To be as small a state as we are geographically, then our college needs to be aware and never forget who we work for. And as a land-grant mission university, to make sure that we're being innovative and being productive to produce veterinarians that are ready to hit the ground. For example, this fall, we'll have 84 students in our program. And that's the class size that we try to target at this point. I personally call and invite the students to become a part of the class. It's a great pleasure for me to call and invite them. So this fall's class will have 52 Indiana residents out of 84. The other 32 non-residents that will join our class this fall, and they come from all walks and all backgrounds. As it turns out, 25% of the class this fall are first-generation college students. We still continue to get great interest from all across the country in our program here. We had 1,956 applications for those 84 slots. So it's a very competitive process, but we're finding those very talented students. As it turns out, 37% of the class this fall did their undergraduate work at Purdue University. And so they come from all over. They're innovators. They're going to be thought leaders for us into the future, and teaming them with the faculty and staff that we have here now, I'm very bullish on the future. I think there's great opportunity for us to continue to innovate, and particularly under President Chang with the One Health Innovation District that's been announced for Indianapolis in collaboration with Elanco, and we're in serious discussions about how that innovation and those opportunities in Indianapolis with a collaboration with our campus here in West Lafayette. I think the future, someone told me that we are met with insurmountable opportunities. And I think that's where we are.
What a wonderful way to frame just this world that is before us. You're going to bring these new students into the college. They're going to experience that number one rated teaching hospital. They're going to get all the things that only Brett Marsh can deliver in a really unique way. What are a couple of the challenges, maybe the top two challenges that you think, not just this class, but veterinarians overall, what are some of those things that they're going to have to overcome if we're going to be able to meet the needs of the broader market?
Well, I think one of the things has been for some time is having students who have maybe a rural background, who understand what that task is. And so there are programs I've learned at other veterinary colleges that actually seek those students as high school students and preserve positions in the veterinary program as they matriculate through the program. So we're taking a look at that opportunity. I think the other thing that as a challenge as a college, and it's true of veterinary colleges across the country, is it used to be that the veterinary colleges were the sites of specialists. And so if you wanted a board certified veterinary dentist or a board certified veterinary oncologist, they were at the universities, and not anymore. And so they may be in private practice in Indianapolis or Chicago or elsewhere. And so when we're trying to hire faculty to teach and do research, private sector is also trying to hire those same individuals. And so we're in this constant conversation with recruitment and retention of faculty that's so critical for our teaching mission as well as our research mission. And that's one of the shifts that we're evaluating now, how we can improve the process to recruit and retain faculty at the university level, because those are the individuals who are going to secure and make sure we have future veterinarians.
Dr. Marsh, you look at this wild rise in companion animal ownership here in the state. You mentioned some really critical stats. We saw here in the U.S., maybe even globally, just a dramatic increase in companion animal ownership. We've also seen venture capital really flow into companion animal innovation, focused on companion animal therapeutics, all kinds of animal health applications. How have you seen this market evolve over your 3+ decades of serving as a veterinarian? What's changed?
There have been dramatic changes. One, of course, on the animal agriculture side is the consolidation over time. Even though, for example, in Indiana, we have about 700 grade A dairy farms. When I started, we had 2,500, but we have more milk now than we had before. And so it's just part of that change. We see it in all sectors of our economy. Those kinds of changes have taken place. From a pet-owning perspective, the expectation is that the services provided to pets would be the same that you and I would receive in a human hospital. And so those specialty practices and those offerings, we have individuals who take advantage of all those services that we provide here and in specialty practices elsewhere. We see this also in the equine world, increasing interest in the equine opportunities for diagnostics, surgical procedures, innovations in all of these areas. So that will continue to evolve and change. As I mentioned, the specialization has become increasingly more so over time. So we're fortunate to have a veterinary board certified veterinary dentist who comes here from his private practice and works with our students. And we're grateful for that because there are actually very few of those in the United States. And so having that opportunity. So there's a number of pieces that have come together. But one of the things that I want to mention is that has changed is the corporate ownership of practices. And that has changed dramatically over time. When I started, they were all independently owned. And so now there's more interest in corporate ownership, group practices where they can secure these specialists, et cetera. And so that entire marketing landscape has changed. as it turns out, it doesn't supply our underserved areas. They may be in the metropolitan areas, et cetera, but I'm determined to find ways where we can make sure that people out across our state have access to veterinary care, because we still have, I talked to State 4-H, for example, and in the 2023 exhibition season, there were over 83,000 animals exhibited by young people across our state. Well, they're all over our state in the rural areas and everywhere, and so we want to make sure that we're providing the coverage to them as well. One of the things that I'm encouraged about is we have some practices that have built haul-in facilities. So if you can get to me, let's do it that way, because for me to be in a truck driving all over, there's so much windshield time. And so one of the practices in Milroy has built a haul-in facility. I know there's one in Flora, Indiana, and they've been quite successful and very busy. And so finding new models to provide veterinary care in a way that's more innovative than we've been in the past. And we're taking a look at everything as related to artificial intelligence, how we can improve our process there. And again, lots of opportunities. And I'm excited for the future of our students.
Well, Dr. Marsh, time for one more question. And I think that's exactly it. As you look to the future of the college, maybe even the broader future of veterinary medicine, what's on the horizon?
Well, I think there's enormous possibilities and opportunities. People will continue to have animals, will continue to enjoy animals, whether it's for recreation or for food or for pet, et cetera. I think there's opportunities for veterinarians in ways just in my former career, you might be in public policy. You might be on Capitol Hill. Might work for the World Organization for Animal Health, which is based in Paris, France. So those possibilities, the research opportunity is amazing to me, the continuing opportunities we have in innovation, and to keep those thought processes moving forward will continue to improve our lifestyle as citizens of this country, and veterinary medicine will continue to be a contributor. I think the opportunities we have, for example, in collaboration with a world-class animal health company like Elanco at Indianapolis is going to change our landscape in this state and across the country as Elanco, Purdue, its College of Veterinary Medicine, and other players will come to bear on that Indianapolis footprint to make it a global center. So I think there's great opportunity. I'm excited for the future and honored to be in this role.
Well, Dr. Marsh, on behalf of all Hoosiers, thank you for your service to this state, and thank you for the work you're doing at Purdue. He is Dr. Brett Marsh, Dean of the College of Veterinary Medicine at Purdue University. Dr. Marsh, great to see you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And thank you for joining us on Ag Bioscience. You can always get the latest Ag Bioscience news and insights from discussions just like this by subscribing wherever you get your podcast. And don't forget, while you're online, check us out at agrinovusindiana.com. On behalf of the entire Agrinovus team, I'm Mitch Frazier, saying thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, hosted by Mitch Frazier, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovusindiana.com.